Hey gang, are you looking to make business cards and not quite sure where to go? Maybe you've tried some online sources and they haven't really worked out? Well, let me tell you about the one that I use and I love. That's Vistaprint.com. Vistaprint allows you to make up to 500 full-color, single or double-sided business cards starting at $9.99. Simply go to Vistaprint.com, order your cards, and in the offer code, enter the code BC500. That's B as in boy, C500. That's Vistaprint.com. Start passing out your cards today. It's a professional thing to do, seriously. Vistaprint, let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope that you guys had a good week. This was a long week. This was a long and very intense week. We'll get to that in just a minute. I have a great show for you guys today. Brandon Callies, Paco Estrada, and Taylor Autry from the band Heart of the City are here today. We have a great conversation. They're a new band made up of a bunch of different guys. Brandon Callies is a solo artist. Paco Estrada is a solo artist. You might know him from South FM. He's been on the show. I sang on his record. We're old pals. We've done a lot of shows together. He actually even covered a song of mine called Leave. Anyway, Paco and I go back a long way. I know Taylor from the last couple years of hanging out, but I just met Brandon Callies. Amazing songwriter, amazing singer, and amazing bass player, it turns out. Heart of the City, their debut album, self-titled. Heart of the City, available now on Hand Drawn Records. You can find them at heartofthecitymusic.com. They were in town a couple of weeks ago doing a record release at the Hole in the Wall, and they came by the next morning on their way to Houston to do their record release show there. Great. This record is absolutely fantastic, man. The songs are absolutely great. The band is great. It sounds great. I love hearing Paco sing. He's such an amazing singer, man, with such a beautiful, beautiful voice. Get out there and check out this album and enjoy my conversation with Brandon, Paco, and Taylor from the band Heart of the City coming up in just a minute. Gang, let me tell you what's going on with me. It has been a week. First of all, I have to say we lost a couple of guys here in our music community. One guy I didn't know very well, Stephen Greer, is a keyboard player, great musician. I'd seen him play for many years. Been around him a couple of times, met him a few times. He was a really nice guy. He passed away on Tuesday. That was very sad, kind of a hit to the community. And then the very next day, we lost kind of the OG of the hip-hop scene here, the godfather of the rap scene, Donnell Robinson, known as MC Overlord, or Big Don to the kids, the young kids, like little kids know him as Big Don. An amazing guy with just nothing but positivity for so many years. He started rapping here in Austin in like 1988. So for 30 years he's been like the guy here. And so it was a terrible loss. He was a pillar of this community. Someone that everyone looked up to and enjoyed being around. Someone he went around supporting everyone and encouraging everyone and always had a kind word to say. So if there's a heaven, I know Donnell Robinson is in it. It was very sad. It kind of informed a lot of stuff that started happening here towards the end of the week, but it was also, I mean, a very, very busy week. The Health Alliance for Austin Musician had their day on Tuesday. I played a couple of shows for them on Tuesday morning at Whole Foods at 9 a.m. I played at Antone's Records at like 4:30 for them in the afternoon that day. I did a few radio things that day. I did a podcast that day. My record came out yesterday. My EP, I should say. Leper Hands. Get out there and check it out. It's on Spotify. Go to johnnygowdy.com. All your info's there. Anyway, we had our release show here last night in Austin. It was a lot of fun, man. The band sounded great. Scrappy, John Chipman, Sean Crooks, Mary Claire Glazer, Sarah Dossie. Great time. If I sound a little tired, I am a little tired. I'm going to have to take a little nap today before I head up to Dallas. Playing an opening bell tonight with my friend Scott Collins. Jonathan Pilgrim opens the show. If you live in Dallas, come on out to the show. You know who lives in Dallas? Paco Estrada from Heart of the City. Now, they're trying to bridge the gap between Austin and Dallas. Apparently, there is sort of a competitive thing, and I kind of get it. But they're trying to erase that and be like, hey, man, let's join forces. We got all these guys from Austin, like Taylor Autry, Brandon Callies. And then I think the whole band lives here in Austin, except for Paco lives in Dallas. Anyway, they're trying to bridge the gap. They're up in Dallas. Amazing, amazing trumpet stuff going on this record as well, by the way. Very beautiful. So without further ado, gang, let's talk to Brandon Callies, Paco Estrada, and Taylor Autry from the band Heart of the City. Let's get down. Deal between Austin and Dallas that you guys are trying to fix, or in your EPK and your bio, there's like, oh yeah, they're trying to whatever.
This is kind of like a East kind Coast, of a Paco idea, I will say.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that you know, coming from, I mean, I live in Dallas.
There's a difference,
and I feel like there's this somewhat underlying sort of thing that there's a big separation between Austin and Dallas.
Yeah.
When I think they're very much the same, just yeah. like any city that has live music. But Austin gets this huge championship all the time and this reputation and South by Southwest and all these festivals and right. whatnot, you know? And so just the fact that I'm from Dallas and I spend so much time here.
Right.
And so I think that sort of begins from the fact that everybody else in the band is from Austin and I'm from Dallas. And so I want people to know that, like, these two towns are working together, you know, to create
That's good.
Some music, okay. you know, yeah. rather than, hey, we're from Austin or we're from Dallas.
Right.
It's like, well, we're actually, like, trying to work together and create something different, you know?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Say, like, Taylor was telling me you guys did a tour with your band, The American Revival, mm-hmm. Brandon, and with Heart of the City. So, like, when you went to different towns, if someone says, like, oh, hey, Paco, where are you from? You're like, oh, Dallas. They're like, okay. And then they go, like, hey, Brandon, where are you from? He's like, Austin. Like, no way. Hey, man. Like, do they do that? Is it like they get excited? Does that happen?
Usually when people ask where we're from, if it's not as personal, I always say we're from Austin. Like, the band in general is from Austin.
You recorded down here.
Yes. And I feel like the majority, I'm the only one that's not. And I feel like because I hear so much, I feel like, you know, part of Austin.
Yeah.
So, but I know that when we did this last tour, there was a lot of stuff going on in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Houston's another, like, those poor guys.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were getting it really, really hard with that last hurricane. And
oh,
so
right. yeah.
The rest of the, you know, places from Minneapolis to Wisconsin to even Kansas City, like these cities really kind of like were very like the fact that we were from Texas, you know, and they like loved us even more.
Right.
You know, and
right.
then they were rallying with us because they knew that there was so much trouble going on in Houston and whatnot. And yeah. I don't know. I felt like that they were
That's
even
good.
They were even more supportive because they knew we'd come all the way from Texas.
Right.
I think they thought we were in the hurricane. I will say
I think they
that
thought you were the hurricane.
Well, Knuckleheads was like that. They booked when we played. We were there because it was like an Austin night.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So That's when right. we showed up, they had because there were like two or
Where's
three stages. Kansas City.
Okay.
And I mean, it's a
like
really
a comedy
rad.
Club. Is that a comedy club?
Uh-uh.
Oh,
it's like this little. It's like a miniature. It's like a miniature Luckenbach. So it started off as this like small bar that was like a biker bar type deal.
Okay.
And then became almost like this miniature community. So like, it's a premier venue now in Kansas City. Like when people go through, that's usually okay. little, like bigger, you know, bands. But they've got three different rooms. So they've
oh,
got
okay.
a big stage. Medium stage,
like a
small stage,
kind of thing or something.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And so when we showed up, the bands on all of the stages were Austin bands. So we went over and watched like we knew the band next door.
Who was it?
who was playing next door?
I don't remember.
Somebody that
was
doing the
gospel
brunch
stuff,
thing.
Yeah.
yeah. But yeah, it was
like Jeff
was
Plankenhorn or something?
No, what was her name? It was a girl.
Okay.
She led the band. I can't remember for the life of me. what her name was now.
Yeah. No, I remember loading in with them.
Yeah.
But to fully answer your question, yes. If you say that you're from Austin.
They do. They make a bigger deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know.
Austin has this huge reputation, you know.
He must be good unless you go to Nashville and then.
Like Austin claims like Stevie Ray Vaughan all the time, you know.
You go to Nashville. He's
from Dallas, you know. It's like things like that.
Just all I understand that. Yeah. We do claim him.
We're trying to get Paco to move down here, but it's not working.
Yeah, what has kept you from moving here? Because you're always down here working. You've got band dudes here.
I think
you're recording.
I know Dallas so well. And I have family there. And it's my town. I know where everything is.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I feel so at home. I can drive around with pot all day long and just feel comfortable and safe. Like, you know, like I smoke in my car. Like, I feel like it's my backyard, you know? I just feel like, safe.
Like no one does that in Austin.
Yeah. I do that in Austin too, but I don't feel as safe.
Right.
Yeah.
So your record is brilliant. It's gorgeous. And I feel like there's like a unifying, there's a lot of different stuff going on. There's like a soul sound. There's definitely some rock, but you play bass.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you are awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
Like you really are. Like your feel is killer.
I appreciate that.
Especially with soul music. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's not an easy thing to do. And I wrote this down because I loved the sound of it. You play fretless bass on one song that you can really hear. Oh, Depression.
Depression, yeah.
Shit, man.
Yeah, he played upright.
Beautiful sound, yeah.
Yeah. It's on a few songs
yeah,
on
the
record.
Yeah, that one in particular, though, had like a real nice...
We did that at Orb, and they stuck one mic on that thing, and it really came out. You caught all that room sound in it. I thought it was really cool.
That's the thing that I thought was so cool, was that it had... Yeah. You don't normally hear room sound in a bass.
Yeah.
But that was there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Paco gets really upset at me because when we started the band, he had originally been calling me for his solo shows because he knew that I played upright. And so when we started the band, his whole thing was, you know, we're just going to have upright. And then I started rehearsing with the electric bass because it's just easier, you know. You're not lugging this huge thing around. Yeah. And then, like, I played a South By with the upright, and it's just a giant pain, you know, to bring everywhere. And, you know.
Shout out to CJ.
You should have thought about that before.
Slowly worked it out.
Shout out to CJ from Darwin's for letting us store that in his back room.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he slowly got lazy on it, and then was like, oh, I'll just bring this electric bass. But
yeah.
It works out.
Yeah. So outside of the sound of like generally, I feel like there's a unifying thing. It's very unique, and that's the trumpet guy. Mm-hmm. So is he with you guys all the time?
All the time.
Okay,
all
good.
All the time. There's not some, I guess, you know, we layered some stuff, so it may sound like there's a horn section, but it's just one guy.
Yeah.
And I really like that. Like Brandon has actually been pushing to get like a second electric guitar in the band. Uh-huh. And I've just been really resistant about it. I'm like, you know, electric lead guitar, just that's everybody has that.
Yeah.
And what we have, I think, is really unique. The only things that really take lead are piano.
Yeah.
We'll do a solo here and there.
And the
or
trumpet.
Keys anyway. And then the trumpet. But the trumpet has it all. To me, like, the trumpet is the second vocal, like, all the time. It's like you're getting two vocal parts.
Yeah. What I think allows the grooves to be so deep is that there is some space. There's a guitar, keyboard, bass, and drums. And, like... Therein is the groove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then
the space helps.
Yes. I also like just sticking.
No offense, Brandon.
Of all the albums, you know, that we've made and we've called in this person and that person, and we put all this extra stuff on there and layered. And, you know, with this, I think part of the magic is that we're confined to these specific rules of, you know, you have keys, you have a rhythm guitar, you have the trumpet, you have, and then you have the groove, you know. And so I think that. Putting yourself in those, you know, in that confinement, then you just get different results creatively, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. What, how did you guys, how did it come together? Like you're saying, did that first tour that you did, Taylor was telling me a little while ago, it's right when you guys got together. So you've been together a little over a year, maybe. How did it come together?
Well, he was just kind of, he found out that I played upright bass. So he was looking to do a recording.
Mm-hmm.
Called me and asked me to come in and record, and I started playing some solo shows. With Paco, it became kind of difficult because everything was in Dallas. You know, so toward the end of that, when I wasn't doing it as much, he called me up and he said, hey, man, but what if we did a band under a band name?
Yeah. And I personally had just been itching to do, I'd been hiring out musicians or having friends play with me at shows and just not rehearsing, just getting together on the fly. I've been doing it that way for so long. And I was finally ready. And I just think from things in my past, I wasn't ready to like be in a group setting where sure. I trusted everybody. Sure. And like, hey, we all have an equal say and we all have, you know, a job to do. And that's another thing. I was just tired of going it alone and yeah. doing it everything by myself.
Yeah.
So, and I just, Brandon is like one of the hardest.
I don't know that. It's a weird. Somebody from somewhere. Phone.
Do you see it?
It's over here.
Oh, it's a phone. Oh, it is? On the counter.
Is it on the counter?
Yeah, on the counter.
Is that mine?
Eric.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's got to get a job now. It's my cousin. It was his birthday. All right. So
So I was just, I saw how hard Brandon was just worked so hard, you know? And on top of all the stuff that he was doing, we were just playing a lot of shows together. And then he was playing upright bass with me. And it just, I don't know, just, and he was playing, you played the electric bass for mm-hmm. some stuff too. And it just was like, man, this dude is like just like me. Like I should team up. Like we're getting older.
Yeah.
We've put out a lot of solo records. I've put out a lot of solo records. Yeah, yeah. Let's and that's another thing that I guess that's part of why the Dallas thing is like I've noticed in Dallas, like there's a lot of younger artists coming up and it has to do with the fact that Dallas is very segregated. Every producer that's doing their thing is very guarded about what they're doing and yeah. there's not a lot of people working together and it just where I was at in my life was like, you know, how do these huge movies get made? It's like you see several different icons and logos at the beginning. You know, there's a lot. Takes there's a huge, village. Yeah, there's a yeah. huge team that works together. So, yeah, that's where my head was at, and I was like, Brandon is like my number one choice for team,
yeah.
team members. So, and worked out. I had some songs. We started working, and then just kind of kept writing. And next thing you know, it started working out.
Do you guys write together?
We haven't really, generally Paco will write, the songs and then bring them in and then we'll kind of, I mean, they're arranged, but go through several different feels, you know, play them a few different ways. But yeah, we don't really do very much co-writing. It's, you know, primarily him bringing all the material in.
Which, you know, if you got a great songwriter, man.
Yeah. Really. I was going to say, yeah. if you got Michelangelo, you know, let him paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about that Michelangelo guy that plays the two guitar neck things at first, and I was like, you got him?
Picasso. What exactly
you know who I'm talking about?
What is he using the strum?
He's just tapping. It's full on tapping. You've never seen? It's no. Michelangelo Badio. I was obsessed with him for like a month. He's like an Yngwie guy, but more underground.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Michelangelo.
He's like a split off guitar.
That's crazy. I'm not a guy that's like into a virtuoso guitarist. Like that's just not what I'm gonna go listen to.
Yeah.
But to see an ambidextrous virtuoso.
But it makes me laugh when people take it like, well, just doing this isn't enough. I need two necks. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you got to start learning.
Because that's going to make you write a great song.
Yeah. You got to now start learning how to play guitar with like your feet and
I don't
face.
Think he could write a great song, so he needed a different gimmick.
Well, you know, I always wonder what guys like that are going to be. Because I heard this girl that is like Eric, I think it's Eric Johnson's girlfriend. And she's a guitar hero. But then she has like a project, it's like, she's like the best songwriter I've heard in a long time, too. She's both. Weird.
Yeah.
Oh.
Weird.
Lucky her.
So, Taylor, you just jumped in the band because you were like, all right, well, I'm in it, too.
Well,
like,
no, I was playing with Paco for a couple years, at least. And so it was like they were started talking and I was kind of like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
Piano would sound good on that.
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, it really, like, and you're a great player, too, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this record is fantastic. So it's self-titled. There's no. It's just artists. Did you do the artwork, Brandon?
I didn't.
Okay. I like your. Sheep. It's a lot different than your artwork. I didn't know if you did like some mixed medium collage shit.
It is a collage.
Yeah.
She had a bunch of stuff from like the 1930s, some magazine clippings, and scanned them all in. Took the time and she makes some beautiful stuff.
She did the photography
did,
as well.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. That
we just
photo.
Let her run with it.
Yeah, this is great. And Ryan Holly plays in your band?
He does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you guys, you're playing all the time still, right?
Not as much. We've been recording. Okay. So, I mean, we're actually playing at Continental tonight as well. So yeah, but just it's been a little bit more sparse during the recording process.
Did Ryan play last night, or didn't he play at Saxon Pub?
He played at Saxon with the Departure, the Journey cover band, and Damn the Torpedoes, I think they played.
Yeah, those guys are good. Damn Torpedoes.
Damn Torpedoes. That's what it was.
Yeah, that guy looks a lot like Tom Petty.
He looks just like Iggy Pop to me. Like in the
face. That's interesting.
He looks like Iggy Pop to me.
I always forget his name.
Which is awesome. I mean, Iggy Pop's one of my Stooges is one of the coolest bands in the world, in my opinion.
So. Really?
Yeah.
Is that your background? Is like punk rock? Is that your Black Flag sticker on your truck?
Yep, that Black Flag. Yeah, you saw it. Yeah.
I'm a
big eighties punk, Bad Brains, stuff like that.
Really?
Big
joke. What about you guys? Are you guys into that? Are you guys
not near as much as this guy is?
He gets aggravated sometimes.
Right. No, I don't.
How do you listen to it in the band? guys, man.
Just on the way here,
on
the way here, Minor Threat came on my shuffle, and Paco was like, "He's just got all this love music playing.
All these great love songs.
Great love songs."
What about that spoke to you?
It hit me when I was a kid, and I think that's just really the best time for it to.
Yeah,
you know, so
when you're pissed off.
Yeah, all that aggression and stuff.
Yeah,
and I think you know part of it was like. When I started listening to that music, I didn't know how to play music at all. So it made it something that seemed like it could be achievable. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they don't actually know how to play their instruments either. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing about punk rock music. And even like when like the Beatles first came out, you're like, well, they're not doing anything I can't learn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They all look like dudes that live down the street.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you start doing it, and you realize how hard it is.
It's pretty hard. How long have you been playing, Taylor?
All my life.
All your life?
Yeah.
Were you like piano lessons guy?
Yeah, for a couple years, and then I moved away. I was in San Antonio, and then I moved away, and didn't take lessons after that. So
where'd you move away to? Self-taught.
Lano. So I went from San Antonio to Lano, which had 2,700 people. So it was a bit of a culture shock.
How old were you there?
Middle school. So, you know, 10, 11, 12. And then
was it like going back in time when you go to a place like that back then?
It was like a different dimension. I mean, it was just it was
another dimension.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the I remember so I was telling somebody, you know, couldn't reach something and I was telling them, "Hey, just stand on a phone book." And they looked at me like I was crazy, and then I realized their phone book is like a pamphlet. Right? You know, I come from San Antonio where we've got if you stack the white pages and the yellow pages, you got a good 2 feet on you know?
Yeah.
It was interesting. So I got out of there as fast as I could.
Were you taking like classical lessons? Were you like you had a person come to your house?
No, it was actually really awesome. So my granny just realized that I had, you know, a little bit more interest in music than the average bugger. And she got me into lessons, and thankfully I got with this teacher out of Helotes that just really concentrated on my ear and the stuff that I was interested in. So I played Stevie Wonder, and I played
that's real cool.
Yeah, she would record stuff and then send me home with the tape, and then I would play it for her the next week. And so it was an even mix, right, of theory and of like, okay, this kid's doing, this is what he's doing, so let's make him. And so it was really, really positive experience.
That's really cool.
Yeah, but it kind of set me up for learning on my own as I left and, you know, went on and did my thing.
Yeah.
So
was that the grandma that you would write letters to?
I did, yes. Yeah. So she passed away a few years ago. She did.
Oh, sorry about that, man.
She passed away a few years ago, and my dad had come across some, like a box, like file cabinet, right, for stuff. And my file was a couple inches thick, and it had all these letters and stuff that we had written back and forth. And it was pretty special.
Awesome.
It was really, really awesome.
That is awesome, Taylor.
Yeah. So she, she definitely is has a big part in my music, which, you know, I've been playing all my life, but like part time to a wall, you know, in my house kind of thing. And so it wasn't until I started playing, with Ryan. I went to high school with Ryan Holly.
Okay.
And started playing with him at a jam, a local jam, and then started playing with another band. And then Paco saw my photo on Facebook.
I needed a piano player. I needed a piano player for a show.
Yeah.
And
I was number 11, I'm pretty sure.
And I was just looking. I was like, man, I'm running out of time. It was like, 2 or 3 days to the gig. And I just saw him in the picture. And he had photobombed. He had come to see us play at Darwin's. And Ryan and I played at Darwin's. And he had just photobombed us. And so we had just added each other
on Facebook. It was an epic photobomb, by the way.
Yeah, it was. And then I just see his photo. I'm like, oh, piano. There's a piano in his photo. He plays piano. Hey, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was 1 week before my wedding.
Okay.
And that album, the Bedtime Stories album, was amazing.
Johnny sings on that.
And extremely piano heavy.
Yeah.
And so he calls me up and says, hey, what do you...
a different guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 You mean the doctor of music from Dallas?
Yeah, that guy's pretty insane.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So he calls me up and he's like, hey, could you do this? And I was like, yep. He was like, well, do you want to listen to the album first? I was like, sure, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And then his wife
fell in love with when we were made on the record.
Oh yeah.
And then they wanted me to play it at their wedding, but I had a gig, and then Ryan played it, and so like that's their jam.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We love Paco.
Yeah, Paco's a good dude. Paco's like an institution amongst my friends.
My
music friends. You know what I mean? He's the one name guy. Nobody's ever said Paco Estrada to me. They're like, oh, Paco's coming to town. Have you seen Paco? Have you heard Paco's thing? Yeah.
There's not. Do you know other Pacos?
I do, but that's because I'm Cuban and they live in Miami. But I don't know any other Pacos around here.
That's true.
I don't want to get too far from this, Taylor. I want to ask you a question. When you're learning that Stevie Wonder stuff, did you learn Superstition?
I did not.
Okay. Have you learned it since?
I have not.
Okay.
It's on really my hard. Short list. Oh, I know. It's two different parts.
It's really hard.
It's more than two.
Really?
I was doing now some research on YouTube, and there's a guy that's like, there's fucking four clavinet tracks.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I knew there was, I mean, I thought it was two.
I can't even do the, he does these little grace notes hitting like the you know what I'm talking
about?
Like,
yeah.
Doing the, there's like, I can't do that. I can just play the straight thing. I had to play it at a gig the other day and the guitar player was doing like that. Ink, okay.
Yeah,
I was like, "Hey man, can you do that? I'm not Stevie Wonder."
So something about Stevie Wonder, like I was drawn. I'm drawn to that syncopated.
Yeah,
that, you know what I mean. That Superstitious is like the you know pinnacle of that stuff that makes me move my head, and I cannot. And I'm the most uncool person on stage and off, but I just cannot not move when I hear that kind of stuff.
Well, the thing is it's I don't think there's anyone else on that recording. I think it's like he's definitely playing drums and stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can tell. Like when he plays drums, it's just cooler than anything you've ever heard in your life. All right, so who's the drummer, speaking of drums?
Richard Panter.
Okay. Where does he come from?
From Austin. Everybody's from Austin.
All right. But does he come from your band?
We've played kind of off and on, you know, throughout the years. Just a good friend of mine. Paco, when. The thing was, when we decided to do a band, he said, just put together a bunch of dudes that you like, a bunch of musicians from Austin.
I said, you find the coolest dudes you can find. That's what I said.
And yeah. Taylor.
I did it. I did do it.
That was good. And you did, didn't you?
Yes. Victory.
So what's the plan now? You guys have put out the record. And it came out like a week ago when we're doing this, right? Oh, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, last August 24th at Trees was when it was actually like that. That was the day it came out. Yeah.
The video for...
The River.
For The River is awesome. It's awesome.
We're pretty proud of it, man.
Yeah. Was that a regular church? Were they okay with you guys?
Yeah, it was like a wedding venue. It was out on the outskirts of San Antonio and... they were really cool about it, and they were like, yeah, you know, we had to get everybody there on a Wednesday, because obviously they use it for weddings on weekends.
Right.
And they were just cool. They were like, yeah, do whatever you want. As long as you don't make a mess, maybe you'll get your deposit back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The song sold them.
And yeah, they were.
It's a great song. The songs on this record are really great. Like, this is a great album. It's a great band, and yeah.
Thank you.
I'm glad that. So, how long did it take? Who directed that video?
A guy named Will Jenkins.
Okay.
He lives in San Antonio. He's in Austin pretty frequently. He does quite a few music videos.
Useless Puppy.
Useless Puppy is okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's great, easy to work with.
Right.
Got a lot of good ideas.
So you did the Hole in the Wall last night as of the time of recording this, and you're doing Houston tonight. So then that's my big question is what do you do? Because I'm about to release something, and I have a whole release thing, and then it's over, and I don't really have anything after that. I'm like, what do you do after that?
Well, you know,
is everything going in the time that it takes of a news feed to go? Sorry, Paco.
Well, one of the things we wanted to do, and it may not have worked out that way, because it is, I know right now the album is available for streaming and it's on iTunes, but we wanted to do it to where we had this first single, The River. Mm-hmm. You could come to a show and get the album.
Okay.
You can order the album online mm-hmm. from the hand-drawn website,
right.
But we wanted to have it where you couldn't stream it, and you could only get The River. And then, you know, next month we would release a new video. So that way there's just something to be campaigning.
Yeah.
Blue October just did that. They were five singles deep. They didn't do a video for everyone, but they were five singles deep before they released before they allowed you to have everything on,
right.
on sold, you know, on iTunes or wherever, Amazon, wherever, digitally sold. And I think that's kind of the best way to do it now, especially because we're just on our own and doing our own thing as independent artists. And so prolonging the delivery of what you have, so it's not like, oh, here's the album, everybody has it, right. Now what do you do?
Right,
yeah.
But it's like, okay, here's a little bit more. Next month, here's a little bit more.
That's a really brilliant
Because then
way
you
to
always have things, and you always have something going on your social media, you always have something to push, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's the new way to do it.
We're still kind of on that train a little bit.
I mean, we'll release another video within the next couple months.
Right.
And, like, really push that single. We'll keep playing shows, but we have a few songs that didn't make the record in our pockets.
Oh, good.
But I think we're gonna keep riding like this video wave. Like The River was a really awesome mm-hmm. thing to be a part of and do. So we have some other ideas for some of the next singles.
Yeah. How do you that hand drawn record seems like a cool label. They have you. They've got my pals. Sideshow Tragedy.
Oh
yeah,
amazing.
That's awesome. That is so my good. Favorite Austin
yeah.
band.
Yeah, one of mine too.
Everything that I like about music, they have it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that bluesy.
He totally comes from that punk rock.
Yeah, bluesy yeah. punk rock. You know, yeah. Dobro.
Dobro.
I love it.
Dobro.
Yeah, it's awesome. So you guys recorded at the Orb.
We did a little bit of tracking at Orb.
Yeah.
We did a lot of tracking with Taylor Tatch out in...
Dripping Springs.
Yeah, what is the name
Audio
of the
studio?
Audio Styles.
Audio Styles.
And that was an amazing experience. And then I went back to Dallas, and I worked with a band called Cure for Paranoia.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah. So JT was co-producer on this record.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
We did a lot of things in posts with some of, you know, with the music and he was a big part of that. And
what kind of stuff
did
you do in post?
I guess there's just a lot of... The band just sort of did what they did, you know? And if you hear a lot of little stops and starts and little magical things, and you hear a little extra little delays and, you know, all magic. I mean, that was him. You
okay.
know? And cool. But I did all my vocals there in their home studio and then recorded guitar in my home studio and sort of just kind of... But everybody that was here in Austin, we just were like, let's get it done here, you know? And then I'll... kind of finish it up there.
That's so cool.
So it's a little bit here, a little bit of there.
What's going on with Cure? They were on the show a while back.
Yeah.
They put us with us.
Yeah, they did.
I saw them last time, some photos on
yeah,
stage with you guys.
Stanley and Cam, like, you know, they guess there's on Don't Go,
right.
Stanley sings, and then Cam raps on Depression. So they did our album release with us, and right now they're doing really, really good. They got a lot of things going on with them. They're working hard with a publishing company, and they've been putting out stuff. They just got a placement for ESPN.
Oh, fantastic.
They got a placement for a movie that's coming out next year.
Awesome.
So yeah, they're working really, really hard, and they're constantly creating beds and music with other artists around town, and they're constantly staying connected. They opened up for Nas not too long ago.
That's great.
I don't know anybody that works harder than those guys.
Yeah. I mean, they're all, you know, four guys living in the same... you know, apartment and just working really, really hard.
Right, I remember that about them.
Sacrificing everything else.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it.
I remember they were also doing some show that was kind of improvisational. Is that right? Yeah. They're doing something on a weekly basis where they collaborate with people
improvisational. Yeah, not everybody in the band. Three of the guys in the band do. It's called Collab, and they've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
From Lower Greenville, they used to do it, and then they moved it down to Deep Ellum. Now they do it at Three Links, Scott Begg's place, and it's always just on the fly, and it's a group effort. A lot of different musicians come in, people come up, people go down, it's just kind of a family thing.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Let me ask you this. Now my dad's calling. What is going on?
Daddy's calling.
Hey, what are you doing? You doing a podcast? but there was something I was going to say before you ruined my life again. Yeah. That call. I want to get back to Hand Drawn Records. So they're a pressing plant as well.
Yes. Yeah.
My favorite is when they don't like just you didn't answer the first time.
Yeah.
Why not call again?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, they started up the pressing side of it, and it was a huge deal for them because they were just, you know, a label before they did that, and
right.
It really that made them so popular. I did a tour a couple of years ago, and we had a bunch of radio stuff booked, and they knew, like, the radio guys knew that there was some kind of announcement coming, but they didn't know what. And when we showed up, they went, "You guys are the ones that new pressing machine went to." And that's all they wanted to talk about was the pressing plant. It was a really huge deal. It was the first one, the first new press that has been made in, like, the last 60 years.
Yeah.
So it operates way faster. I mean, they pump records out damn near at the speed of pumping out CDs.
Right.
You know?
And so did they, because of your affiliation with them, is that why you guys are one of their artists? Or?
Yeah, but it wasn't just on the strength of my word. I mean, they certainly wanted to, to
I'm
hear
sure
it.
They
and then
signed the band because you were the bass player.
I sent them. I sent them a couple of the demos that we had done at Orb, and when they heard, I think "Call Me Back" was the first thing they heard, and they went, "Okay, yeah, done." So
good, that's awesome. And so let me ask you this: was the idea to do vinyl? You didn't do CDs, or did you?
We did a very small. We did like 200 CDs, 100 CDs, maybe.
It was a game time decision.
And it was only, I don't know, it was just, I don't know, we felt bad. We knew that some of our hardcore fans were going to just still a little bit older, still holding on to that CD. Well, really, we didn't want to do CDs at all. I mean, in our experience, the last few times both of us have put out albums on CD, I mean, it's a coaster. It's like a business card, much, you know?
And a closet filler upper, by the way.
Yeah,
I've got no shelf room in my bedroom closet.
I don't got any more room for CDs. Yeah. I can't do it.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, let's just, vinyl. And that was what attracted me to this, to Hand Drawn, you know, too. Was just that I was like, man, I had already pressed some of my solo stuff on vinyl with
them. Oh, you did?
Yeah. So.
Is this available in some stores, like at Good Records and Waterloo Records and Cactus Records, like in Houston?
It will be.
If it's not already, it may be. I just haven't actually looked.
people that are wondering where you could just go to heartofthecitymusic.com. Why is the name Heart of the City? What does that mean?
We were just talking about names for the band, and it seemed really, really appropriate. Just I don't know.
Yeah,
That's a good question.
Before we even started writing music, Paco kind of wanted this kind of a hybrid between like Charlie Crockett, but with some like hip hop stuff in it, you know? So kind of a throwback sound, but with modern elements.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There was always just sort of this downtown sort of lounge theme, you know, kind of in the music, and so that's, you know, kind of where the name came from, I think.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, so whatever happened to that show you did? Remember you did a show? I can't remember. I have no time for the last 10 years.
What show?
Time has been a blur.
About?
But I do know that some years ago, I remember watching some show, like almost like The Real World, where dudes live in a house and you were there.
Yeah. That was before Cure for Paranoia. There was a hip hop, it's called Space Camp.
Right.
And we all lived in a house together and we were working on music. And that was one of the guys from Cure for Paranoia, and JT was producing it too with us and whatnot. And so our manager had just kind of suggested, hey, you know, to connect with our fans, kind of let them see like how, you know, this is what you do. This is what your life is like. It's exciting. The fact that you're all choosing to like
do this
with your life. So we just had cameras and we would just edit up something like, you know, every couple weeks.
Yeah.
And we put out these webisodes.
How many did you end up putting out?
We did about 10.
Oh, really?
Maybe, yeah.
I think I watched like 2.
Well, they've been pulled. I mean, ever since like the more success Cure for Paranoia got, I don't know if they're even up anymore. Yeah.
It's like the pictures with John Lennon with the toilet seat around his neck from Hamburg. He's like, once they got a record deal, he's like, hey man, you're going to have to send me those pictures.
Exactly. it was like a little too much that we put out there, you know, So they've been retracted, but I think that was great. It was great practice for like just figuring out how to create content that fast and go, okay, we need to edit it by this. We would decide, okay, we need these segments. Who are we going to interview? Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. And organizing those things and figuring out how to work together as a team to go, there's a hard deadline of like, this needs to come out next Thursday, you know? And like, then we need to think about what the next episode is about. And also just being on your game where it's like every live show, it's like, don't forget, really, even if we play to 10 people, we're there to get, like, make sure we capture some really good footage and we have something to use for our social media for content, you know?
Right.
Because that's where it's at.
I think you've always been, well, not, I don't know, always, but over the last few years, you've done some really cool things like that. Remember, obviously you probably do remember, but you were doing that online book thing for bedtime stories?
Yeah.
That you did?
Yeah, it's up. It's up on iTunes.
That thing is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, is there?
I think those things come out of just like having the drive to go, how do I do something that I hadn't done before that's like bigger than the last thing I did? You know, like to me, like I'm always trying to do, it wouldn't be satisfying to play music and do this for a living if I wasn't constantly going, hey, let's do this.
Right.
Let's do a DVD for bedtime stories because I've never put a whole DVD together, you know? And I mean, yeah, it was a lot of extra work, and I'm sitting around doing all the editing, but, like, that's just the challenges that I love about, like sitting down and editing something is the same thing as, I mean, it's the same thing as I fell in love with when I was a kid. You started sitting around, you're just doodling, like, you're just in, like, this now moment space. It's like a spiritual space, and so, like, to me, like, doing these extra things, like, always creates those moments of, like, just the enjoyment of being creative and figuring out how to use my creative outlet, you know?
Yeah.
So taking on all these other, like making that book, like it wasn't easy. Like I had to figure out this program and get in there and like put all this content together. But when you see the final results, like super satisfying more than like other things in life.
Did you think about doing something like that with this or no? It wasn't.
There's some ideas going into this.
It's like between your artwork and your ideas.
Yeah, well, we're actually, there's this song called Sing that'll probably be on this next record, and there's this whole storyline. I kind of want to make a comic book, or maybe, like, I really want to create this whole universe that surrounds the song, and I really want to make a whole concept record, and I think Heart of the City would be perfect for it. So we've been having conversations over the last year about this, so it's in the makings, because I've always wanted to make something where you're reading a comic book, or even if it's an online comic book, and you have a soundtrack with you, and you're supposed to put the CD in and play along with it, just like those books we would read in the early 80s, Tinkerbell would wave her wand, and like you knew that it was time to turn the page, and you know, so like if you're reading something and it's raining in this scene, you know, then you hear rain come in, and then maybe our song, like, I really want to make something interactive like that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my next goal, and I think Heart of the City would be really good for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Who's that guy that did that Wilco documentary, the I'm Trying to Break Your Heart movie?
That's such a great documentary.
Sam.
I don't know who did it, but that's really good.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a great photographer, or like a huge photographer. But he did something with Blake Mills. You know Blake Mills, a studio guitar player? He's an animal. He's amazing. But he did this thing that was a book of his photographs that went along with the CD of music. And it was one of those things where people were asking him, when I read about it, people were asking him, like, man, like, no one even buys CDs. Were you throwing a book into? And they were like, well, we just figured that, like, maybe it'll inspire people to get more involved again if you, like, mm-hmm. put out so much yeah. art. Like, here's this, you know, here's this conceptual piece that takes all these different pieces to, like, get into it.
It's the listening to music the way we used to listen to music
yeah.
is back, man. It's coming back, man.
It is.
Yeah.
I think more kids have record players now. You know, they want it to be interactive. They yeah. don't music for a long time, especially when it went digital, you know, it's like it's such a background thing. You're doing a million other things, you're just listening to something in the background. Whereas when we were young, you know, it was an experience. It's like, yeah. what are you doing? I'm not, you know, you say, what are you doing right now? It's like, I'm playing PlayStation and I'm doing this and talking on the phone. And then yes. there's some music playing in the background.
Right.
You know? But when we were young, it was like, what are you doing? Oh, well, me and my homies are going to go over. We're going to listen to this album.
Right.
We're going to sit down. We're going to look at the artwork. Yeah. You know, people want tangible things. I know yeah. we live in a convenient world where it's always on the cell phone. But, and even if we can give it to them in a tangible form of like an app where they can interact with it. And it's more than just like, here's a playlist on Spotify. You know?
Right.
So I think if you do it right and it's inspiring,
yeah,
then mm-hmm. yeah, you got to find that audience that'll pay for it and that really wants that physical copy. But they're out there, and it's yeah. worth them. It's worth that experience and them being able. Because I know how I would feel if my favorite artist was like, "Hey, I'm gonna put out this special thing."
Yeah,
and it's this. I mean, you know, you want it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the rest of the year is working on new stuff, working on this idea for the new. Conceptual
writing songs and writing I think songs. Kind of coming up with a lot of visual, you know, for to go along with the record.
Yeah.
What about the American Revival? What are you doing? You said you were recording?
Finishing an album now. We're kind of toward the end of it.
Where are you guys doing that?
A place called Wolf Creek. It's down south.
Okay.
But yeah, it's coming along. So I think we've really, if we put our minds to it, could be out in like 2 days, but we just, know. We haven't. And you know, we've been really dedicating like all of our time pretty much to Heart of the City.
That's good. You have to.
And so, I mean, yeah. Yeah. You know. So it'll happen. And then, I imagine in the next month or two, everything will be wrapped up on it right. and then, you know, go time.
Yeah. So you'll have to come back on the show. I mean, have we ever met?
Yeah. Maybe in passing? Well, in passing a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you look familiar, but I can't tell if it's because I've been looking at your picture all morning.
Yeah, there would be so many times that y'all would have been in the same room, you know, from Darwin's to all kinds of places. From Darwin's to Darwin's. And even at the studio, probably.
How's stuff? Is Darwin's still going strong?
Yeah,
huh?
CJ came out to the show last night. Yeah, he's doing really good. They've expanded. There's a parking lot behind there. There's going to be a big hotel. He's got the piano bar rolling right now. He's extended the stage. Like, yeah, he's doing really, really well.
That's great. It's funny. I don't think a lot of people my age that have been here for a long time go to Sixth Street. Nothing against Darwin's. It's just kind of like you feel like you've aged out.
Yeah, totally.
Like, well, mm-hmm. you get to the point like now, like I'm like, I don't want to take my car down there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Jesus Christ! There. Yeah,
yeah. I don't want to be in all that mess. That's one of the reasons why I've never moved to Austin. Is that it's like I can take Austin for about five or 6 days.
Sure.
And I think also when I was younger, I just ran with a fast crowd and it was exhausting. After 5 or 6 days, like I can't just go out and do this every single day of my life. You know?
Yeah.
It can't just be dinner time. And it's like, oh, let's go to Trudy's or let's go to, you know.
Right. Right.
So.
You know. I just want you to know this, Paco. Uh-oh. Toby Pipes always used to say to me that I was a Dallas guy, not an Austin guy. I don't even know what that means.
Toby would say something like that.
But he always used to say, like, man, y'all should move up to Dallas, man. Y'all are so much more of Dallas than Austin. I never had anything.
I think you're total Austin. But
so do I, kind of. But yeah. but I understand, like, I'm not when people are like, you've seen those shirts that say, don't Dallas my Austin.
Oh,
these
bumper
stickers. Uh-huh. Part of me is like, I mean, we could really use it, but like, they probably are more like, hey, don't Austin or Dallas, man. Like, come on, what are you doing?
Deep Ellum just really has some great stuff going on.
Yeah, there's always been great bands going on there. I mean,
but yeah, I mean, so you mentioned that, and that makes me think of, you know, where we started, you know, about the connection of 35. It's like, I mean, people just create a competition between the two towns.
Well, it's funny because I think Austin, this is why. I think it's because of it's an underdog. Like, at some point in the 90s, everybody in Dallas had a major label record deal. And we had, like, Fastball. You know what I mean?
Okay. I see that.
But there was, like, I mean, there was, like, the Nixons, the Toadies, Deep Blue Something, Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians. Like, right, I mean, you guys right, just, you yeah. always had like the...
Bowling for Soup.
Huge band. Even, didn't they win a Grammy or did they wear a duck?
They did.
Yeah. You know, there's a thing, I actually told someone this the other day. I remember it like it was yesterday. What's that guy's name? Jared?
Yeah.
He's Jared, a nice guy, yeah, man. Yeah, Jared. I like him a lot. But there's this thing that I remember, and I actually told him I remembered it, and he remembered it too. But when they were... in the Grammys, I was watching the E red carpet coverage beforehand.
Yeah, yeah.
With Joan Rivers, right?
Uh-huh.
And they came on. They wore like blue tuxedos.
Yeah, blue tuxedos
and
with the ruffles.
And she turned around and said, "You look awful. I'm not talking to you." And she turned around and started talking to someone else. It was so hilarious.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I have a feeling if Jared could have scripted that moment, that's exactly how it would have gone.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, what are they going to get from Joan Rivers and blue tuxedos? I mean, she was a mean lady.
I mean, I would take that. I'd tell that story all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
That's my claim to fame right there. Joan Rivers said I looked awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you guys don't have anything on the books for the coming weeks of shows? Any shows that I saw on your website?
We have this one-off Goodnight Summer thing that Jeff Crowder always puts on from Deep Ella in Houston.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we're doing that at the end of this month, but other than that, not really.
At the end of September?
But we're working on an early November little run to Nashville to play some shows up there and sort of connect with some old friends and stuff like that. So,
good.
So we'll kind of do that, and then... I have a feeling we'll probably take a little bit of a break. I need a little break to be honest.
Yeah.
I need more time to work with South FM, so.
Are you guys doing some stuff?
Yeah, I've been pulling double duty on both. I mean,
when did that happen? When did South FM?
We've been writing for about a year.
Okay.
So we're about 17, 18 songs in.
Jesus.
The goal is to get to 30, so that way we can narrow down the best of the best. That's kind of how we did Swallowing the Pill.
Okay.
So,
But you guys haven't been active for a while.
We haven't been, for a long, long time. Yeah. But early last year, I would say, is when we really kind of started. We ended up playing a few shows with the Nixons because they came back.
And so, I
don't know. We're just in the demo. We're trying not to do live shows because we're just trying to be in the demo process.
Right.
So.
Why am I drawing a blank on the Nixons guy's name?
Zach Malloy.
Zach,
what a sweet dude!
He's awesome.
He is.
He's a good guy.
Doesn't he live in Oklahoma? I saw him somewhere in Oklahoma.
Well, that's where he's from. Yeah, but he lives.
I saw him in Oklahoma.
Nashville now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh yes, because I saw him at a wedding. That was real weird. Some random wedding.
What, in Oklahoma?
No.
Oh, in here. Nashville. Oh, here.
Like a few years ago, and he's writing up there with people and stuff.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, Carrie Underwood co-writes and things like
that.
No
shit?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
How are they sounding?
They sound like they used to sound. Yeah, I mean, he's still in shape. He still does all the things he does and sets things on fire and climbs rafters and stuff. People love it.
Yeah.
It's that old school following. Everybody's like nostalgia. It's been a year. Last year was a lot of nostalgia. We did a show with Slow Roosevelt and Bowling for Soup at Bomb Factory with them, you know, so like every, you know, it's just like a crazy, crazy, crazy night.
Are you doing that show at Darwin's with Canvas? And
yes, they asked that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, they asked Heart of the City to do it.
You guys
said
Dirty
new. Dogs. Is that what it is?
Dirty Dogs.
They asked us to do it acoustic.
You gotta like, have a broken up band.
Yeah, that's what the deal is. Yeah. That's what I said. I said, well, you know what, South FM's playing right now, and so they were all about it. But
it's gonna be.
I wish you would do that
show.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I just, man, Skyrocket had two slow months in a row, but I'm also like financing my whole album myself, and man, that is, it's really expensive.
Yeah.
And I got like a band. I don't have a. I have like dudes that cost money. I have whores, high-priced whores, yeah, playing with me. Amazing, yeah. High-priced whores. They're the best.
Yeah.
But they're expensive. Everything is so expensive. That's what I've noticed.
It is. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, it shouldn't be for you. Like, we have friends. We have people that we...
I could probably use more, but these are my friends, but I just, they can't go play without getting paid, you know? Yeah. I mean, I can't do that to someone.
I know, but I guess in a live setting, good, it's a little different, but
yeah,
I would think it's like, oh, you want to play on Johnny Galli's record? Yes, please. You know?
Oh, they all charge me. Yeah. Well, you know
you
what?
You guys are jerks if you're listening.
They're great dudes. Great dudes. I'm just kidding. Great dudes. Great ladies. Everyone's great. But you know what? That's weird. That's funny that you see. You ever go and just play with people in their band? Any of you guys just go play?
If I was more of an improv player, I would. But yeah, I love when somebody asks me to come to the studio or even just to hang out and record something. Like that's a magical thing to be a part of. You know,
I'll be honest, and I'm not making myself.
It's going to be on that. You're putting in so much money in it already just to put it out.
I didn't ask you for money to sing on your thing.
I wouldn't have paid you money.
I didn't ask. No, that's what I was just about to say. Was I did some stuff on my friend Jeremy.
Came and hung out in the studio. Matt was there. Like it's an experience. Like you go in there to be a part of it. You know, you're making something magical.
If someone's like, "Hey, I need you to take like 3 days off and come sit in the studio and play guitar on every song on a thing," I would probably be like, "Hey, let's throw a guy."
Yeah, but come after work.
But yeah, that's different. Like my friend. Jeremy, like, I went and sang on some songs on his record, and then he gave me this check afterwards, and I was like, I'd feel gross taking your money like an
asshole.
You felt
like a whore.
Yeah.
Recently,
I went and played with somebody, and I did a show with them, and at the end, she was like, "Oh, man, I never even talked about what I need to give you for this," and I was like, "You don't have to give me anything." Like, I mean, right? Like, I learned some songs, I fucking brought my shit, I played a show, it was fun. I like you. I like these dudes. Sometimes you need the experience more than the $50. You know what I mean? Like, you know what? Keep that $50. Mm-hmm. I just needed to play with some different people using different sounds and different muscles and expanding my vocabulary.
Yes, yeah. Sir. When I started playing, I was in a unique position. I have a full-time job. Right. You know, I wasn't a professional musician.
Right.
So I could pick and choose. And I played with people who I loved their music, and it was all over the board. It could rock, outlaw country, some Americana.
Ryan
I mean, it
Holly.
Was yeah. I mean, it was just it was all over the place. Right?
Say a different genre.
I just wanted to drop a name Ryan in there. Holly.
How do you explain it? Yeah.
Some Ryan Thomas Holly.
And so we all enjoy getting tossed a few bucks here and there, but from me, my experience was,
I mean,
it was like I want you to be successful. And so even with these bands, if they get to the point where they're going on a national tour, I probably can't be a part of it. So my goal is to not play with them anymore, right? Because I want them to get that big. I want them to be successful. And so
this guy quitting on my show.
No,
I mean, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, well, I guess we have it on. It's recorded, so. You can leave that part. Hey, leave that part out, but make sure you send that clip to us.
Yeah.
So we have it as evidence.
Go back and listen to episode 730 of How Did I Get Here. You'll know what I was trying to say.
Right. But I mean, think about where these gigs are. Like, where are you playing? Like, if it's not a full on cover band, it's some like chain place.
Sure.
Then
sure.
What are you really making in profit? And if you know how much the band's actually making as a whole, like, you know, would you be like, oh, give me my $50.
Yeah.
Because then that leaves you with 100 to pay the rest of the band. Because that's the reality.
Yeah. Or you're getting a percentage of the bar that's a very small percent and is very small, you know.
Yeah.
And where's my $5?
Like, I saw a thing yesterday online that somebody's starting like a two people joined forces and they started a cover band. They already have the name and they have a website and they're looking for people to come and do it. Seems pretty weird.
You want to join
another cover band?
I don't want to join another one. No, I'm in one. It's enough for me. I mean, it's a lot of work.
I know.
I mean,
it's awesome.
And I put so much time into it that now it really is. I mean, geez, we've been together since like I've been in the band since 2002. Like 16 years I've been playing in this band.
Man.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, why is that weird? I mean, that's like going into the practice space.
Well,
you see a thing on the wall and it says, "Hey, we're starting a cover band. Must
that's
sound
true.
Like Alice in Chains, Close the Pines, blah, blah." And then
that's
you take
true.
A little number, you know? This is the same thing, right?
Yeah. I guess with me, I see the way that Skyrocket started, and to me, it's like the only way to do it is to not realize what you're doing, and then all of a sudden you're in it. I think it seems a little easier than trying to calculate this massive success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, that's a different approach. Like, that's an artist. There's an artist approach, and there's a businessman approach that wants to be a musician.
And so that shows you, like, the dumbest guy in the world that takes the artist approach to putting a cover band together. Like, that's dumb.
Yeah, but then you end up with Skyrocket, though.
The one thing is we are friends, and that's a real thing. Like, that's hard to sort of get in one of those kind of bands.
Yeah.
Is like, oh yeah, we're just all friends. Mm-hmm. That's why we do it. I mean, that's why we started
doing it. Well, that's what makes it even a really good time.
Yeah. Well, people can find you guys at heartofthecitymusic.com. Your album is out. It's on Hand Drawn Records. People can see the video for The River. They can just go to your website and check stuff out. You also have a cool EPK mm-hmm. on there. You guys do it.
Always up to date.
Always up to date. And, I guess I can find. Oh, what is Dancing with the Devil within the Pale Moonlight from? Isn't that from a movie?
Yeah, the Joker says that to Batman.
Yeah, that's where it was.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson to Michael Keaton.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. He says, "Have you ever danced with the devil by the Pale Moonlight?"
Yeah.
And to me, like, that's just like, you know, have you ever just like, you know, we dance with the devil like all the time. You go out drinking. You drive. You whatever, like anything that your parents told you not to do.
Yeah.
And then it could go horribly wrong.
Doing a little dancing with the devil.
Yeah, the good choice of
yeah, man, it's great. Because
when I heard it, I was like, I know that. Yeah. Like, I've heard that some ways. I was like, is that a Shakespeare thing? Like, I remember that was my first idea.
You're like, of course, it
was
Tim Sonnets.
Was that Shakespeare or Tim Burton? Well, thank you guys for coming on the show. Good luck. Have a good trip to Houston today.
Thanks, man.
Tell Mo, the bartender at Carnival,
I
said.
I want to drown in the river.
To be me born in the river. Brandon Callies, Paco Estrada, Taylor Autry from the band Heart of the City. Their self-titled album is available now. Wherever it is that you get and stream music, they were nice enough to bring me a vinyl copy of that album, and I've spun it a couple times, and the vinyl sounds fantastic. On Hand Drawn Records, Heart of the City. Go to heartofthecitymusic.com for all of your Heart of the City needs. I want to thank those guys for coming by because they played a late show the night before they came by at the Hole in the Wall here in Austin. They were heading out to Houston to play another show there at the Continental Club. So I hope those shows all went well for them and that that we get to see them back in Austin very, very soon. All right? I want to thank Taylor, Paco, and Brandon for coming by. And also, hey, Taylor, thanks for bringing those tacos, buddy. Heartofthecitymusic.com is where you will find all your information you need about these dudes. Fantastic dudes. All right? Don't forget, while you're out there checking out heartofthecitymusic.com, you can find How Did I Get Here? Okay? We are available in all the places where you stream podcasts, where you download podcasts. I'm talking about Stitcher. I'm talking about Spotify. I'm talking about TuneIn, Overcast, all the Apple Podcasts, Android Podcasts, iTunes, all the places. Get it going. And hey, gang, for those of you that are listening from Dallas, I will be playing there tonight, the day that this comes out, Friday, September 14th. I will be playing at Opening Bell. My friend Scott Collins is going up there with me. He's playing before me. And first on the bill is Jonathan Pilgrim, Dallas's own Jonathan Pilgrim. Hey, if you live in Dallas, come on out to that tonight. Go to johnnygowdy.com and look up the shows. You'll see what's going on. And if you don't know my music, it's on there too. Okay? Thanks for listening to the show, everyone. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Thanks to Taylor, Brandon, Paco for coming by. Heart of the City, great record. Get out there and get it. Let's get down.
Long ago, before there was a wrong right, we were standing naked in the morning light. But someone was afraid and redirected all the blame, and now we're standing here about to fight. And we're still here suffering. And even though we lose control, we just tell ourselves it's natural. If we could
take the time to leave behind shadows of the doubt that fill our minds. We don't need to know where this world will go. Love will lead the way to the end of suffering. Suffering. The end of suffering. Suffering. Myself together, I could never love you right. You were looking for a place so you could run and hide away, and now we have to pay the price. And we're still here suffering. Oh, and even though we're still in love, we're so afraid to finally see the lights. If we could take the time to leave behind the shadows of the dark that fill our minds. We don't need to know where this world will go. Love will lead the way to the end of suffering. Suffering. The end of suffering. Time.